You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome inside to Inside the War Room, presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Dante Colonelli, joined by my esteemed co-host, Saray Poole. How are you doing today, my guy?
Man, I am good. We got some college football to talk about. Man, summertime. It was 97 degrees out here in Denver, Colorado today. So it's been a good day, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, and as you said, we do have some interesting stuff to talk about today. We're going to step away from the NFL draft a little bit. We're going to step away from team building a little bit, and you might be thinking to yourself, well, that's the whole point of your show. Why are you doing that? And to that, I say it's my podcast. I can do whatever the hell I want with it. So we're going to talk about the college football playoff. It will expand to 12 teams in the 2023 season. So not this coming year, not the year after that. So 2 years, we still get 2 years of the top four. So we're getting into that. But before we do, I would just encourage everyone listening to the show right now to stop what you're doing. Give us a five-star review. It really, really helps us. We do all these podcasts for free. We have a new episode up every single day of the week. It'd just be a huge help if you could drop a five-star review. But with that being said, let's get into this college football playoff talk, because I think this is super interesting. And I'll let you go real quick. I just think it's funny. I want to see if you agree with this. Didn't you feel like everyone, like especially last year, right, during the selection process, Notre Dame was announced as the fourth team, and everybody was immediately like, we need to expand the playoff, right? Like that felt like the vibe on Twitter, right? They announced the playoff being expanded from 4 to 12, which is significantly more than I expected. I thought it was going to be like 6. Like, I thought they'd be like, all right, yep, we'll open up the 2 more teams. Like, okay, cool. But they went all the way to 12. That's a lot. And everybody was like, this is terrible. I hate it. And I don't know. Did you feel the same way? Like, was that kind of the same whip? Did you get the same whiplash when they made the announcement?
So, like, I agree with everything you just said. But also, like, it's, like, kind of funny because they were saying since Notre Dame isn't in a conference, they'll never be one of those teams to get a first-round bye. So
they can't even be a top 6 seed, let alone top 4. The highest they could be is 7 because they're an independent. Yes, they're not in the SEC.
So it's to the point where their athletic director is trying his best to. I seen a quote somewhere. Forgive me if I'm saying it wrong, but he was basically saying that like people should stop giving Notre Dame so much crap about, you know, not playing that extra conference championship game. But he's basically saying that'll happen now that the playoff is expanded. But I do think that with this whole playoff expansion thing, I was all for expanding the playoff. I didn't think it was going to get to 12 this fast, right? I thought it was going to be 6 or 8 also. But, like, for it to get to 12, man, I mean, that's huge on the committee. I mean, come on, man. We know this is behind the revenue, right? They're going to make so much money behind extra college football playoff games. But I don't think that as fans, they're in fans' eyes, they're always going to be wrong. It doesn't matter what the committee does, right? Because – fans will always find a way to tell them they did the wrong thing. That's just the nature of sports, whether it's you're watching a basketball game, you don't like a call, right? Like, no matter what it is, I really think that the committee can try their hardest to expand the playoffs, make fans happy, give us something that we've been asking for a very, very long time. But at the same time, is when the 12 teams are called, right, we're going to complain about the 12 team having to play the number 5 seed, because generally that 5 seed will be, like you said, if this was this year, it would have been Notre Dame. Against Coastal, Notre Dame probably would have blew out Coastal. It probably would have been close for the first quarter, and after that, talent would have taken over. It got ugly. So there will be some things we'll get into later that are, you know, that would be weird about it. But I do think that as fans, we're always going to complain about some. I'm excited. I've been waiting so long to see more college football playoff games, man. Give those smaller schools a shot. So I'm kind of happy that, you know, in the next 3 or 4 years, we're going to be doing this thing.
I'm going to be honest. I am completely and utterly in support of this. I don't think there's a single downside. I'm all down. The only thing that I understand, I've been on this podcast before, right? And I have said last year, you know, there are only two or three teams of consequence in college football, at least in my opinion. And those teams, relatively speaking, sometimes Oklahoma will poke their head in. You know, sometimes Notre Dame will get flimsily dumped into this situation as well. But for the most part, for me, it's Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama. Those are the three schools that, you know, air quotes matter to me. But I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I just think expanding the playoffs is just going to give us more interesting college football matchups. And, like, I don't know why people don't want that. Like, you know, I saw a lot of people tweet when it got announced, like, oh, this doesn't solve the inherent problem. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I guess so. Like, sure, Alabama is still going to freaking steamroll everyone. I mean, yeah, okay. I challenge you to find a format where that isn't going to happen. That's what I would say, right? Like, that's where we're at, right, with Alabama and even Clemson. You know, obviously Ohio State was able to beat them last year. And you know, Ohio State, it's nice we maybe have a third team, but for the most part, those have been the three most dominant teams of the entire college football era. Before that, Alabama was still very good. You know, like, I challenge you to find a format where Alabama probably isn't going to be, you know, a team that's consistently at the top. So for me, like, getting a matchup like Notre Dame, Coastal Carolina, I mean, I just think that's incredibly interesting. You know, we're going to see teams like, you know, I don't know who would have made it last year. Like, you know,
Oklahoma, Cincinnati would have been in.
Cincinnati would have been in. Like, I don't know. That's cool.
Texas A&M and Florida possibly would have been in, right?
Okay. Yeah. Like, let's do it. Let's see Kellen Mond in a college football playoff game. Like, I don't know. I think that's interesting. And the other thing, too, is, like, not only is it just more football, which I think is generally entertaining, but one of the reasons that I, like, really wanted Cincinnati to get in over Notre Dame last year is not because I thought they were a better football team or even maybe that they were more deserving. It was just that, like, I'm sick of seeing the same four teams play every year, you know? And I know that's not technically true. I know, like, Georgia has got in there like once or twice. We saw Oklahoma get in there, but, like, Oklahoma never wins a game. Like, they're clearly not up to snuff. For me, it's not about, like, okay, I need someone to knock off Alabama or I need someone to knock off Clemson. For me, it's just about, like, okay, like, these matchups are significantly more interesting. Like, I honestly was not even remotely interested watching Alabama play Notre Dame. And you know what? Maybe I still end up with that. Maybe that still is what it is and that's just okay, fine. But maybe I end up with Alabama and, I don't know, A&M. They go on a run. They win two games. They're hot. And they come into a rematch with an Alabama team. I don't know. That seems more interesting to me than seeing Notre Dame sleepwalk their way out of the ACC championship into the four seed. Like, I don't know. That's where I'm at with it. I just think that there's more interesting. There's more interest. It's more compelling. Like, that's where it's at for me. I don't think we're going to find a format where we knock Alabama or Clemson off. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think that's going to happen. The good teams are still going to be good, but, you know, we're going to see more interesting matchups on the bottom end. So, honestly, I don't know why people are complaining about this. I don't understand.
So, this is what I would say to that. Like, I agree with everything you just said. But, like, looking at these rankings right here, so Notre Dame had a 4 seed, right? So, let's just say that, you know, they were in a conference, hypothetically speaking, they got that first round bye. That means the next games would have been Texas A&M versus Coastal 5-12. We can all agree it's fun, right? It's fun, right? Yeah. But we know at some point Texas A&M's talent takes over. They beat those guys pretty handsomely. Whatever. My thing is that if you're like BYU, if you're Cincinnati, you're Coastal, for the smaller schools who already have a tough time selling kids on coming to their school, because I can't walk into a kid's living room who's trying to attend Coastal and be like, hey, young man, come play for me. You have a chance to win a national championship. That kid's going to look at you like, no, the hell I don't. I go to Coastal. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, the name of the game is just lie and don't get caught. That's what recruiting has always been. That's what it's always going to be. Now that's your selling point. Hey, man, look, we got a green turf. We got green jerseys, black uniforms. But we got great nightlife here Friday, Saturday night, man. Also, you have a chance to make the college football playoff. And that for those kids who go to those small schools, man, that's like a huge selling point for them. So that's huge for the small schools. But like you said, there's never going to be a formula where Alabama's not good. I'm sorry, Nick Saban don't try to recruit. I'm sorry there's a good winning culture there and they're always the best team in the country. I'm sorry Dabo Swinney knows how to recruit defensive linemen every single year of five. So there's never going to stop. Ohio State, they're never going to be anywhere. Like, they're always going to be the best team. I don't want to say always, but they're always going to be competitive in the Big Ten. This year may be different when, you know, no Justin Fields and everybody that got drafted, whatever. But to my point, like you said, maybe this is more of an indictment on college football talent as a whole, and there's just not enough competitive teams. if we're being honest.
I agree. I mean, again, I'm on record saying there are three teams of consequence in college football. So, I mean, I've already, like, I have just, I'm living with the reservation that one of those three teams is going to win the national championship every year.
We have to. So, we have no choice.
Yeah, so now I'm invested in the how, right? Like, how many interesting matchups can I smush into the month of January until those teams eventually punch everyone into the dirt and win the title? Like, that's where I'm at.
Here's my question for you. A lot of people on Twitter who – Twitter's a wild place. We all know this. Yeah. Social media in general. But a lot of people are saying, oh, bowl games are literally pointless now. And I say, well, to me, if it wasn't a New Year's Six, they were already pointless.
Right? Buddy, all bowl games are pointless, even the New Year's Six, man.
But to be honest, the New Year's Six ones seem a little less pointless from a fan standpoint because it's – bigger schools playing each other for the most part, right?
Yeah.
And it's not the Idaho Potato Bowl. Well, the committee, you know, they're going to get rid of some bowls and the Tax Slayer Bowl. Like, Miami played in the Cheez-It Bowl. We all know I'm a huge Canes fan, but who gives a damn about the Cheez-It Bowl? Like, those kids don't do it. It wins nothing for them, you know what I mean? So I really think also something to pay attention to with this is, like, kids now are going to have to play possible 17-game schedules.
Yeah,
I think opting out is going to be here for as long as we can remember. I don't think it's going anywhere now. I think it started because of COVID and top prospects used it because they didn't know, you know, we didn't have enough information on what was going on in our world. It was just kind of shaken up. Now that we're to the point where, okay, we're going to be expanding this playoff. If you're a kid who is playing for, man, a 9 or 10 seed and you've got to play like a ton of games, your resume is already solidified. And let's say you get some round one matchup against a team that really in your mind think you guys aren't going to win. We don't know what goes on to these kids' heads, right? I do think with more college football playoff games, more prospects will, you know, to put a little draft spin on it, I do think more prospects will just not play. Especially if you imagine if a guy like Trevor Lawrence, I mean, this is probably a bad example, so we won't use Trevor Lawrence, but who's a kid who opted out last year who probably should have played, man? Geez, there's so many of them. Oh my God.
Yeah, we had a lot of opt-outs. Here's the thing I'll say about that is, like, I don't know. I feel like kids will want to play in that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they'll want to, because how many opt-outs have we seen from, like, the top four CFP? Like, I don't know. I can't name any off the top of my head.
I mean, for a while they were like, I mean,
like, guys who just didn't straight up play in the CFP. Like, yeah, not guys who opted out the whole season, like guys who played. Yeah. Like, I don't know if we've seen that. So I don't know. Maybe you're right. Like, maybe you're, you know, maybe if, like, I don't know, if like a you know, one of the teams, you know, one of the three teams of consequence has a bad year and they end up as like a lower seed, maybe you see those guys opt out. But I don't know. I think we'll see kids play in the CFP, but we'll have to see. Obviously, it's a couple years out. And, you know, like you said, I do agree, though, that opt-outs are definitely here to stay. I think what we'll really see, the increase in opt-outs, is that teams who don't make the CFP.
Yes.
You know, I don't need, like, are they going to have, I would worry about, like, having any of my, like, seniors who are draft eligible. Like, I don't know if any of them will play in those bowl games. Well, now, obviously, there will be some. Yeah, no, I agree, right? Like, I am not, like, I'm very pro, do whatever the hell you want, you know? Yeah. You know, like, if you don't, you know, if you're a four-year senior is going to the Senior Bowl, you gotta knock yourself out. Don't play in the game. I don't blame you. But, you know, obviously we'll see some guys play just because, you know, some guys are really competitive. They want to do that. That's their choice. But I think we'll actually see an increase in opt-outs when this gets implemented in 2023, like probably for the teams that don't make the CFP, because like the bowl games have just lost all, like, you know, who cares, you know, kind of thing. Like, and I was already on that boat, but, you know, I know a lot of people were very upset last year. You know, a lot of the Twitter boomers were very upset that these guys were opting out, you know, very old man yells at cloud vibes. You know, I don't know, but I do think we'll see an increase in opt-outs because of this for the teams who don't make it.
So Joe Klatt does great work, tweeted out a couple of days ago, the expansion of the college football playoff is a giant step in the right direction for the health of college football. I would also encourage each league to do away with their divisions as they are increasingly insignificant and antiquated. Play your top two teams in your championship game. I 100% agree.
I'm here for it. Because let's do it.
Now, not only are we going to be uber competitive, but we're trying to just have that one huge win on our schedule. So the strength of schedule looks good. But it's gotten to a point where now, does the regular season matter as much as it used to? And I'm going to have to say no. Because if you're just doing your four teams, right, we always get to that point where there's always these two or three teams who have one or two losses. And you're like, damn, I don't know who's going to – we know who's going to get in. But other fans are trying to make their case. Like last year, so many people tried to make a case for Florida. They tried to make a case for Texas A&M. And you know, Notre Dame ends up getting that spot. Some people thought Cincinnati, you know what I mean? So it's like, again, if you're the smaller schools, you know, you're going to get in as 12 teams. But if you're like A&M and Florida, this is really who those teams – that who this is for. The teams in the SEC who are 8-3 and 8-4, you know what I mean?
Right.
This is really who this is for, because we know every year the SEC is going to be competitive. The committee is going to have their SEC bias. It's never going to go anywhere. I guarantee you the first year this happens, we're probably going to have three or four SEC teams, and fans are going to hate it. They're going to be sick because we see a 8-3 Florida team and a 9-3 you know, Texas A&M team with Alabama, and who knows? You know, I mean, who knows? But you know, there's going to be at least three to four SEC teams in this thing every year.
I'm very excited for when like an 8-4 Ole Miss makes the playoff over like a 10-2 BYU.
Yes,
it's going to be as like the 12 seed. Everyone's going to freak out.
BYU also independent, as like Notre Dame is,
right?
But BYU does not schedule the games that Notre Dame schedule. Right? They play a ton of SEC teams. They play a ton of, you know, Power Five schools in general. This is what Notre Dame does. They book Pac-12 rock, you know, schedules. This is what they do. If you're looking at, and they always say it's the four most deserving, this should make their job easier. Finding 12 of the most deserving teams. Hard. It should be okay. Yes,
well, no, it should be hard, like finding 12 teams that deserve to be in the playoff. Not like, you know what I mean?
But actually, not finding 12 teams. Yes. I just the committee just always finds a way to, you know what I mean? Like, it's just what they do.
Yeah, I mean,
man.
But,
I don't know.
But like you said at the top of the show, I mean, we're just all inherently miserable all the time.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
You just like, hate everything. It's the culture of the sports world is. You just have to hate everything that goes on. I don't mean, listen, from a revenue standpoint, it's amazing. And I think that this probably doesn't happen if the whole NIL bill didn't get passed. You know, if you guys don't know, that allows kids to profit off their image and likeness, you know, so if they go have a photo shoot or they're at their local grocery store getting autograph signings, they're able to make money off of that, which should have been happening already, right? These kids are making the NCAA $1 billion a year, and, you know, they're basically working for free. And I don't want to hear that argument, oh, they're on full ride scholarship. For anybody who hasn't played college sports, man, you're not a student. You can get rid of that student-athlete term. I'm be honest with you. You think Nick Saban cares if Mac Jones has a C in every class? No, as long as that kid is eligible to play and throw that football, that's all Saban cares about. Man, I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot or anything, but that's the honest to God truth, man. These kids are busting their ass every single day, sometimes twice a day, man, to practice and all types of things. So, like, I won't get into the whole if college athletes deserve to be paid, because they definitely do, because that's going to be like a whole nother can of worms, man. Jesus, but I don't know how much if this NIL bill, you know, if NIL thing didn't happen, I don't know if the playoff expansion even happens, because I don't know, man. I still think this thing is built for the top programs to continue to be dominant, because no matter what happens, right, if you're Alabama and you're Clemson, your selling point was already, hey, we're trying to win national titles. Right. And now you have another selling point where, hey, man, also you can profit off of your likeness, and, you know, you can possibly in the new EA college football, you know, video game coming here. It's like, there's so many ways you could spin this thing as a top giant. So a lot of people who, like we always say, we got tired of seeing, you know, Bama and Clemson, that's never going to go anywhere. Dabo and Nick Saban are here to stay. So, but like, more football is good, guys. So like, we just not hate that aspect. Like, we're going to get more football. Does it suck for the teams who possibly have to play 17? Maybe, yes. But at the same time, it's your end goal is always the NFL. This, you're going to be playing 17 when you get to the league anyway. Get used to it. That's my response. Keep your body in shape. We know injuries will happen. Football, you do get banged up. But the whole amount of games thing doesn't really bother me. I'm not sure you stand on how many, you know, where you are with that.
No, I you know, look, they're moving to 17 in the NFL too. I think, what, we're going to be up to 16 now in CFP, 15 if you make it all the way with the bye, something like that. So I don't think they're quite going to get to 17, but you're going to be right there. So, I mean – again, you're going to the NFL, you know, obviously it'll suck for some guys that they'll get hurt in those late season games that wouldn't have been there. But, you know, I agree with you. I think you're going to end up playing 17 games if you want to get to the league anyway. And we can kind of pivot to the NFL draft aspect of this, which I think is a good way to close out the show here. We'll do a nice little short episode. But I think this is awesome from an NFL draft evaluator perspective. Not only do I get possibly more film, which, you know, always is great because, you know, yes, God forbid I get to actually watch all 22. But not only will we get more opportunities for that, but I think it's a huge showcase for a lot of prospects. I mean, how many times do we see guys pop in the CFP? You know, Christian Barmore had a really good CFP this year. I know he was a known prospect, but I think he really raised his stock a lot, or at least proved that he was still this explosive type guy. You know, we see players do that every year. They have these big moments in the CFP. You know, they rise up boards. I mean, we saw Justin Fields play, you know, I would argue the best quarterback game from last year's class in the CFP. Okay. You know, we saw, you know, Jalen Waddle come back off of his ankle injury and prove that he was at least like 70 to 65% healthy, and that he was still good even with that ankle. So you see a lot of guys prove that stuff. So I'm really excited to see that. And the other thing too is, you know, if last year's CFP, I mean, we probably would have saw Zach Wilson play a Power Five defense.
That's where I was going to take that. So if you, from an evaluator standpoint, it's like a lot of us harped on. Every year, everybody, there's going to be that small school quarterback. We always, I don't care who you are, there, you had a conversation with somebody last cycle about the competition Trey Lance played against and the competition that Zach Wilson played against. There's no way you didn't. Whether you didn't think it was an issue or you did, right? That conversation had to be had because it happens every cycle. This is incredible for those guys. I mean, you can, Trey Lance not so much because they're not FBS program, but Zach Wilson, BYU, small school, no conference, you know, kind of just, you know, bounced around last year because of COVID, weird year, kind of just played whoever they could get on the schedule. But a normal year, they're not playing time competition, and they rarely ever do, you know what I mean? So from an evaluator, how much do you put on that to where, let's say it is a kid like Zach Wilson who played just, you know, kind of middle competition his entire career, they sneak into the playoff, he plays the game of his life against a Power 5 program. Let's say they don't win, but, you know, he plays lights out. Does that move the needle that much for you as an evaluator and where you are on a certain prospect? Or do you think that what you've seen before that, right, all you know, it is just one game. So, you know, we obviously don't, you know, make force our opinions off of one game. We do watch thousands and thousands of hours of tape. But does that move the needle for you as an evaluator? Hey, he played against, hell, we'll call it Georgia, right? Like Des Murder. Let's say if Des Murder would have went out there and was super accurate and played amazing against Georgia, would your thought process, you know, about him would have changed going into this next season?
So here's what I'll say about that is I don't think my personal bias, like my opinion probably won't change that much because I, again, like I think draft Twitter is a little bit more measured on that stuff. However, the NFL cares about that stuff. So I do think it would really, really matter for a player like Desmond Ridder to have played that Georgia game in the CFP. Let's say that was a CFP matchup. That was a New Year's Six Bowl last year. I believe, I think it was the Sugar Bowl they played in off the top of my head. Yeah, I just watched Ridder. That sounds right to me, but it doesn't really matter.
Who was in the Peach Bowl? It was the Sugar or the Peach Bowl?
Maybe it was the Peach Bowl. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Sugar, they're all sweet.
Whatever. But you know, so I mean, say that was a CFP game and Ridder played out of his God-given mind, which he didn't, but not really the point. It was just, he played okay against Georgia, but we're getting off topic. You know, like let's say he just has like a great game, goes for 300, three tutties, 70% completion percentage, dude's just playing out of his God-given mind, right? Like that's going to stick in the mind, whether they win or lose, that's going to stick in the mind of NFL evaluators. I don't think like, you know, I always like to think like, you know, a GM is going to care about something like that. Maybe the Cincinnati area scout doesn't give a flying crap what he does against Georgia, right? Because he's seen him for 4 years on the road. He's met the kid, talked to a strength and conditioning coach. Like he's got, you know, he's good. He feels that way about that player. And that's how it is for a lot of us on draft Twitter, right? Like we're almost, you know, like the area scouts where we spend years at a time with these kids and we watch all their film, blah, blah, blah. But GMs, you know, they're going to be like, okay, well, that's a game I can point to and kind of be like, okay, like this is what we want to see out of this guy from the NFL. So I do think it'll matter a lot for these small school guys. I think it's one of the added benefits of this. I mean, you know, even this year, right? Like Coastal, if they end up going undefeated, winning the Sun Belt again, I mean, you know, Grayson McCall is a hot quarterback name. I haven't watched him yet. I have no idea if he's good or bad. Not really sure. He has a mullet, so I'm skeptical. But, you know, I don't know. Like maybe he gets in and he plays really well against – Georgia or A&M or Florida, and it's a resume game for the kid. You know, we know that, you know, the NFL cares about that stuff a lot more than we do. So I think it's a huge benefit. And I think, again, it's just compelling. Like, it's just another compelling thing. Like, can these small schools come in and perform really well? And this goes for other positions too, not just quarterbacks. So, you know, I think it's awesome. I'm really excited about it.
No, I agree. I'm happy they finally, you know, you come to your senses and you're like, okay, listen, we got to do something. But I think COVID probably had a lot to do with this, you know, make up for some revenue loss they probably had. I don't know. Man, it's about time. I don't see the downside to it, like you said earlier, right? I don't really see, because what's your argument? Because teams who typically argue their team should have made the playoff and they didn't, they're typically within the first eight rankings, right? They're one of those top eight teams. So now that there's 12, it's free ball game. Top four, get your bye. And from there on, it's you win, you roll, man. So like, I just don't see the downside to it, because everything that people argue, it's finally happening. The small schools get a chance, man. That'll be, you'll have more variety, or you'll be a little more different, because there's more than just Bama, Clemson, Ohio State in here, right? So like, everything we've complained about is happening. I really don't see a negative thing to this whatsoever. I can't find one.
People just need to look. You need to enjoy the ride, right? Like, what's that saying? It's not about the destination. It's about the journey. Guys, the destination is Alabama, Clemson, or Ohio State. That's the destination. That's what it is. Yes. But the journey, we can make the journey significantly more interesting.
Yes.
Maybe Cincinnati upsets Georgia in a 5-6 matchup or whatever the hell it would be. You know, a 5-8 matchup. Like, who knows? Maybe we get a fun, you know, maybe a team actually runs the table one year. You never know. We see some crazy stuff happen in the men's basketball college tournament. How many times do we see upsets there? Like, again, if football is completely different, I'm not comping those things together. But, you know, like, but we could see one year, right, where like a wild card team runs the table. It happens in the NFL. You know, we saw Eli Manning run the Giants through the playoffs. As like, they were like 9-7 or
something. They're a wild card team. They won a Super Bowl that year. Yeah,
exactly. We've seen that happen a couple of times. So, the destination is the destination.
Yes.
It is what it is. We can enjoy the journey. All right, you got anything to add before we get out of here?
Quick question. So, like I said, 5 would have played 12. So, A&M would have played Coastal. How else did they work? I couldn't find a picture of how they had this year's, but how else would they have worked the brackets where like Oklahoma was 6? They just play the highest seed, plays the lowest seed. Is that how it would have did that? Or like how would that would have worked?
Well, the top four get byes. So that leaves us with 5 through 12. So 5 would play 12, 6 would play 11, 7 would play 10, 8 would play 9.
So that means that we would have had Texas A&M against Coastal. We can agree that's A&M. Oklahoma against Indiana.
That's interesting.
It's very interesting.
It's Oklahoma. Oklahoma definitely wins, but I don't know. Indiana in a playoff game? Sure. Why not?
I don't know. So then we get Florida and Iowa State. That would have been a hell of a football game.
That would be fun. See?
That would be a fun football game. Yeah. After that, you get number 8 Cincinnati against number 9 Georgia.
Fun game.
I don't see the issue here. I don't either.
I really don't. I don't know why everybody's upset.
Dude, and then North Carolina, they were the 13th ranked team at 8-3, right? So, I mean, if you wanted to put them as a 12 seed over Coastal, that fans would be sick because they're 11-0. But
yeah,
I don't know, man. I'm excited. I'm happy we got to talk about it. I'm just, you know, hoping that, was it 2023 they're doing this? Is it 2024?
2023, I believe, is the first year. So we got two more years. The regular CFP, and then we're gonna go from 4 to 12, which is gonna be
that's crazy. A drastic jump, man. I'm here for it. I like chaos. I wake up and choose violence every day, man.
Me too, man. All right. Well, thank you all for listening to this episode of Inside the War Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and have not already, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. They really, really, really help. And again, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week talking about, I have no idea. We'll see. Maybe we'll start summer scouting. Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see.
See you guys next week.